We're going to be looking at both Nehemiah 5 and Nehemiah 6 tonight. I won't be reading all of it. We'll be reading portions of it as we work our way through. I've entitled the message tonight, Overcoming Opposition. Nehemiah faced opposition during their building of the temple, or the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Lots of opposition. And someone once said, a brook or stream loses its song if you remove all the rocks. And the rocks in the stream of life are often that which seems to be burdens, but God, if we God removed them all, we would no longer need to trust Him. And there's a lot of truth in the fact that, you know, the troubles of life, none of us look forward to them. None of us think, I just can't wait for my next problem. We get them often enough as it is, but we can praise the Lord for those things if we look at them from the right perspective. And Nehemiah's life was full of these rocks of troubles and problems and loads of problems that he faced during his ministry. They're trying to rebuild the wall, and we're going to see how he overcame them, and especially two different types of opposition that he faced. And these two types of opposition are the same kind of opposition that all of us face on a regular basis. All right. So when we face opposition, it's going to be one of these two kinds. The first kind is he had opposition from within. The second one is he had opposition from without. All right. The opposition from within and the opposition from without. We're going to look at both of those tonight. And first of all, in chapter 5, we're going to look at the opposition from within. Notice verse number 1. And there was a great city there was a great cry of the people and their wives against the brethren of the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them, and that we may eat and live. Some also that were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. And the dearth would be a famine or lack of food. Verse 4, there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. So here was a big problem. The nobles and rulers of the land had made it difficult on the poor people, the average people, the common people. The common people were finding it difficult to make ends meet. They were finding it difficult to gain enough off of their lands to provide food for them. They were discouraged. They were hungry. They were working their fields and yet trying to keep up with things. Some of them had mortgaged their land and their houses and their property to be able to buy food. They borrowed from the rich Jews to be able to pay their taxes. And some of them had even had to sell their children as slaves to some of their other brethren to be able to pay their debts. And when Nehemiah heard this, he said, this is a problem. This is a problem. Now, these were internal burdens. These are things within the people. This wasn't from the outside. We're going to see in a few moments that there was burdens from the outside, opposition from the outside, people that were oppressing them from the outside. But here, this is a problem that was within their own ranks. It'd be like our little congregation here. And some would be less capable of providing, and so others, they've had to sell their children to you or to someone else to be able to gain money to pay their taxes. And it was a sad situation. And Nehemiah hears this, and it was a great burden on his heart. It was a difficult thing. And you know, the same thing is true in our lives. Some of the worst problems and worst oppositions that we face are internal opposition. Things that come from within. It may be maybe the internal conflicts with our spouse or with our children or loved ones or our friends, or you know, those who are close to us and dearest to us, when there's conflicts of those kind, those are the most painful. Those are the most hurtful. Those are the hardest ones to deal with. And this was something that Nehemiah was facing here. And a verse that came to mind as I was preparing this is Psalm 27, verse 10. Psalm 27, 10 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." Good verse to remember. When opposition comes from without or from within, and even our family seems to turn against us, he said, "The Lord will take me up when that happens." And Nehemiah here was angered by this opposition that had taken place. We see in the verse 6, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words, and I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles." Now, let me just stop there for a moment. When I was looking through these words and looking up words that I thought would be considered important, I looked at the word consulted. He said he consulted with myself, and I thought, what does it mean to consult with himself? You know what it means? It literally means that he took heart like a king. It means that his heart stood up like a king. In other words, he stood up and became a leader. He said, "I'm going to have to take a stand. I'm going to have to do something that's hard. I'm going to have to deal with this as a king, as a noble, as a ruler. I'm not going to let this slide. I'm going to deal with this." And so that's what he did. He stood up as a leader, and he said he rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, "Ye exact usury, every one from his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye then sell your brethren? Or shall ye be sold unto us? So shall they be sold unto us?" Then held they their peace and found no answer. And I said, I'm having a hard time tonight. I apologize. "Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, their houses, also the 100th part of the money and of the corn and of the wine and the oil and that ye exact of them." All right, so Nehemiah stood up to the leaders. Now, you know, sometimes we read that and think, oh, that wouldn't be so hard. Well, think about it. Here's Nehemiah, and really, he's kind of a... One of the things that I could see would have been a real problem is that Nehemiah was kind of a... You know, in my land, we would call him a Johnny-come-lately. I mean, he hadn't been there very long. I mean, these people have been there for years. Some of them have been there for 30, 40, 50 years. And now along comes Nehemiah. And Nehemiah stands up and said, "Hang on, you guys can't be doing this." You know, there's a temptation for them to say, "Who are you? You just came here. What do you think you're doing telling us what to do?" But one thing to remember, he was a high-ranking official in Babylon. And the king had sent him over there with a mission to rebuild the wall. And so that helped. That was a very helpful thing, that he had a high position there over there in Persia or Babylon. Now, he tells them, he rebukes them, he says, "Listen, you shouldn't be doing that. You need to give back what you get. What you took from them." And you know, the important thing to see here is, even though Nehemiah got upset with them, he got excited, he got fired up at what he had heard, how did he respond? He wasn't vulgar, he wasn't unkind, he wasn't mean. He just stood up and rebuked the leaders and said, "Listen, that's not right. We can't be doing that. Let's not be doing it this way. That is wrong." And he stood up to them. All right? Now, it's important that we see that because that's how we need to respond. We need to be leaders. We need to stand up and say, "No, we can't be doing this. This isn't right. We need to do what's right." Now, the nobles repented and obeyed Nehemiah, and he made them take an oath in verse number 12. And then said they, "We will restore then, and we will requite nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest." Then I called the priests and took an oath of them, and they... that they should do according to this promise. So he made them promise and made them take an oath, and then he charged them in verse 13. And he says, you know, God was going to hold them accountable for keeping their promise. So he was challenging them and charging them to do what they said they would do. So here's Nehemiah. He says, all right, now, folks, listen, this isn't right. You can't be doing this. You can't be charging your brethren. We're working together. We need to work together. We're in a unity instead of fighting with each other, instead of arguing with each other, instead of opposing each other and causing each other to have to pay, you know, take loans from each other. We need to work together. And so he challenged them with that. Now, as Christians, none of us are exempt to temptation. We're all going to face temptation. We're all going to face trials. And we may be falsely accused at times. We need to recognize, you know, that when that happens, but we need to just stand for what is right. And Nehemiah here was doing what was right. It was not easy. He was taking a stand and doing what was right. And there was a temptation, you know, many times there's a temptation not to get involved. You know, you see a problem, you see an issue, and you think, I'm just going to ignore that. I'm not going to say anything. You know, there's that temptation to do that. But Nehemiah said, no, I can't do that. I can't overlook that. I can't just pretend it didn't happen. I got to get involved. I got to deal with it because it's the right thing to do. And you know, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1 is a good verse for us to think on. It says here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So he said, if you see a problem, you see an issue, you need to just deal with that issue. You know, that applies to us in our homes. So means dads, you need to take the responsibility. You see a problem, you need to address it. You know, it's the easy thing is to say, well, you know, I don't want to make waves. Let's just let it go. No, if we do that, the problem's going to get worse. And so Nehemiah addressed it, and God says here, as Christians, we're to do that with each other. When we see someone is struggling, we see someone that does something wrong, we see someone that's not doing what is right, what do? We need to confront them, talk to them about that, deal with it, and handle it in a biblical way. And when a fellow Christian, especially in our church, is going through trials, and they, you know, they need some help. They need some encouragement. It may be physical. It may be emotional. It may be financial. But if we are able to help, we need to pitch in and try to be a help to them. Once again, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to help each other when we can. Sometimes we're not able, but when we can, we need to try to help and be an encouragement to be a help to each other. And so the internal problems, these are the problems. And Nehemiah faced them, and praise the Lord, what happened? Just like that, the people repented, they changed their mind, they said, all right, we'll do what's right. They gave back the money, they gave back the slaves, and they settled the problem, and the people were at ease again. And the burden was lifted. So that was the internal burden, or the internal opposition. Now we see in chapter 6, the whole chapter 6 deals with the external burdens, or the burdens from without. Lots of these oppositions from without, the enemies were against them. Verse number 1 of chapter 6 says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. That Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages and the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down unto you? And yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. All right, so here's the outside, the opposition from the outside, the enemies. Sanballat and Tobiah and all of their wicked friends were trying to hinder the work. So they sent, and they said, come on, we need to have a meeting. Let's go meet in this town over here, where they were going to do a mission. They were going to hurt him. They were going to harm him. They were going to try to stop the work. And God gave him wisdom to see that they were just deceiving him. They were opposing him. And you know, when we face opposition and we face issues that come against us, it's not easy. It's not easy. And we need to be able to recognize when someone is wrongly accusing us or wrongly charging us or trying to hurt us in some way, and we need to respond in a proper way. And we need to focus, keep focused and keep serving the Lord even as we should before. You know, so there was this temptation for them to get off track and to get discouraged. And he says, no, I can't do that. I've got work to do and I'm not going to fall for that. And the enemies persisted four times, it says there. They were trying to get these peace talks to be able to work out. And God helped him to see that that wasn't true. And he needed to stay away from that. And God wants us also to be prudent and making right decisions and discerning right and wrong. And Satan will often place obstacles in our path that look like maybe it might be what God is sending. But we need to be prudent about this. The verse in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So the prudent man foresees the evil and says, no, I'm not going that way. We're not going to go that route. We're going to turn aside because I can see there's problems in that way. And so we need to be very careful. And again, this whole section here is really something for us as leaders. All right? If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you know, maybe you've got another position where you're a leader, but leaders need to lead, and we need to be careful that we don't get distracted by the opposition from the outside, from without. And then the enemies here started spreading gossip about him. Verses 5 to 7, they're telling lies and gossip about him, and they're sending a written letter. Verse number 6, they wrote a letter and reported that he was, you know, things that weren't true about him, and they're saying these bad things about him, trying to discourage and to distract. And Nehemiah just flatly denied it and said, that's not true. It's not true. Even though they're saying that, it's not true. And we're not going to go for that. And he said, it's just another plot. Verse number 8, he says, then I sent unto them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. All right? For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. So that was an important thing. So Nehemiah saw the problem. He said, I'm not going to fall for that. And then what did he do? He prayed. He said, God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. You know, so every one of us as leaders, we need to be praying, God, help me to do what is right. Help me to see what's right, and then help me to do what's right. You know, it's not enough just to know what is right, but we also need to do what is right. And we need God's help in that. All right? We need God's help. And so we need to ask God to strengthen us and to give us grace and help to make the right choices and to do the right things. And then we find the enemy does something else. They hire a priest to try to deceive Nehemiah. Verse number 10. And afterwards I came to the house, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, of the son of this other guy, Metabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come and slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come and slay thee. All right, so what he's saying, he says, hey, Nehemiah, listen, I got inside news for you. I'm going to help you. They're plotting to kill you. And the thing you can do to save your life is to come and hide in the temple. If you come and hide in the temple, it'll protect you. Now, what did Nehemiah think? He didn't know for sure whether this was true or not. Maybe they were plotting to kill him. He wasn't sure. He had no way of knowing for positive. But he had the peace in his heart as he was walking with the Lord, and God gave him peace that it was not true and that God would protect him. And so he didn't listen to them. He didn't follow their way. He refused to hide from them. And we'll see that in just a moment. You know, when things like this happen, what are we to do? What are we to do when we're falsely accused, or whether when there's danger involved? Psalm 56:3 says, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Also, Isaiah 41:10, This is a great verse, and sometimes we take it out of context. It was actually written to the Jews, and an encouragement to the Jews, but it's got a principle in it that's really good. So Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." It shows us the power and greatness of God. And so he said that we need to trust in the Lord and depend upon him, and God will meet our needs. You know, another thing for us to remember is Nehemiah, he said, "I can't do that. I can't go hide in the temple like you said, because that's just not right and I haven't done anything wrong." And one of the reasons he did that is because he knew that people were watching him. Others are watching us as well. How are we going to respond to our trials? How are we going to respond to things that come up in our life? Are we going to respond in the right way or the wrong way? And Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." He says, people are watching. We need to be an example of what is right. And so he was challenging us there as well. Now, Nehemiah in verses 11 to 14 said, "No, I'm not going to hide, and I'm not going to do that." He said in verse 11, and I said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I, would go into the temple and say, to save his life? I will not go in." All right, so here he just said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to." Because if he had, what would have happened? They would have said, "See, he was guilty." And they would have turned around and broadcast all this. See, Nehemiah is hiding because he knows he is guilty. And Nehemiah said, "Listen, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not guilty. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not going to go hide because God's with us. We're doing what God wants us to do." And so Nehemiah refused to go. God protected him, gave him peace about that. And he foresaw that hiding in there would have been sin. Verse number 13, he says, "Therefore I was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." I says that I'm not going to sin and do that. I haven't done wrong. I'm not going to hide in there, and they're not going to have anything to accuse me of. I didn't do that. And so he stands strong and does what is right. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, what would have it hurt if he would have ran in there to hide? Is it wrong to run from persecution? You know, some persecution may be headed our direction. Is it wrong to hide from persecution? Is it wrong to run from persecution? What do we find in the Bible? Well, I think not. Paul often fled when he was threatened. Paul, you know, when they threatened to kill him, he didn't say, "Well, I'm going to stay here and see if they'll really kill me." No, he didn't do that. He would take off if he had the opportunity. He fled. He didn't, you know. But there were times that did catch him, but he always tried to get away. And so there's nothing wrong with fleeing those kind of situations. But Nehemiah here hadn't done anything wrong, so he says, I'm not going to flee. I'm not going to go away. And he was a good example in this. You know, we must follow Nehemiah's example when we're tempted to worry. You know, there's all these temptations. And, you know, a problem comes up. You know, many times, at least in my own life, a problem comes up, and worse than the problem itself is fretting about it. That's worse than the actual problem. When you really evaluate the problem, when it's all settled and done, the problem was almost nothing. But the fretting and worrying about it was terrible. And that's not right. God doesn't want us to do that. And, you know, that's one of the things where I struggle. And Philippians 4, 6 to 8 are verses important for us to remember. When he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." But then the next verse is just as critical, probably one of the most important of the three. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So what happens? We say, "God, I got these problems, and God, you got to take my problems. So I'm giving you my problems. God, please take them away, and God, give us peace." And then we go back to thinking, "Yeah, but what if that happens? What if this happens?" Oh. And the problems are all back again. So God says, "You give me your problems, I'll give you peace, and then think right." We need to think right instead of thinking and go right back into that same pattern. And that's not easy. You know what our flesh does is say, I'm not going to think on those things anymore. I'm just going to think on good things. I'm going to try real hard to think on good things. And before long, you're thinking on the bad things again. And the worry comes back again. All right? God says we've got to think right if we're going to keep our minds at peace. So God will give the peace, but he says you've got to think right. And Nehemiah was able to do that, and that was a blessing. Now, Nehemiah overcame the enemy, and we see in verse number 15, this is probably the key verse in the whole book, perhaps. Verse number 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. The wall was finished in 52 days. Now that seems amazing. This is a big wall. It was a tall wall. It was a difficult job. But Nehemiah was a good leader. Remember, we divided it all up in 34 groups or more of people that were working all at the same time, building the temple, or building the wall, and they're rebuilding it, and they're protecting themselves, they're defending themselves, and they're working hard, and God helps them, and God meets their needs, and God protects them, and God met the need, and they finished the wall. And God got the glory. Verse number 16. And it came to pass that when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were around, were about us, saw these things, they were much cast down in their own minds, in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of God. What a wonderful testimony. Even the enemies had to say, well, we don't like what Nehemiah is doing, but God admit it must have been of God. Nobody else could do it in 52 days. That's amazing. That they could build a whole wall in 52 days. And God got the glory for it. And so it's important for us to see that and to give God the glory for the things that he does in our lives. You know, sadly, though, the nobles. Remember, the nobles are the leaders. They're the rich people, the leaders, and the wealthy nobles. And that some of them did not do right. Look at verse number 17. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and letters to and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. Who was Tobiah? He was one of the enemy. They were actually corresponding with the enemy. And you think, why would they do that? Well, I don't know why they did it, but they did. And they were undermining Nehemiah. Here's the nobles. These are the ones that had said, all right, we'll stop charging our people. We'll stop making them pay off these loans. We'll stop taking their children for our slaves. But they were still not really loyal to the things of the Lord. They were undermining it. They were working with Tobiah on the, underneath. And it was a sad situation that they were still undermining the work of the Lord in doing this. And, you know, we need to remember that even when friends fail us, we must walk with God. Nehemiah, here he was doing a good work, but even the people that should have been loyal, the leaders, the rulers, the nobles. Now, the poor common people were wholeheartedly for him, but it was the leaders, the rulers, and the rich people that were doing wrong. And so Nehemiah stood true, and he did what was right, even when those that should have been with him failed him. And again, that verse from Psalm 27, verse 10, when father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Good reminder to us. And one of the best things that we can do is to loyally support our leaders. Now, this is important in our homes. Who's the leader in the home? Well, Dad is. Dad's supposed to be the leader. If Dad's not the leader, that should be that way. Okay? Dad's the leader. And that means everybody in the family should support Dad. And be faithful and loyal. And there's the leaders in, you know, your parents are leaders for you children. And your pastor's a leader. And our government officials are leaders. You know, we may not agree with everything the government does, but we still ought to be faithful and loyal. And just because you're saying, well, the government's a lousy government, they don't do things that are right, so I'm gonna break the speed laws, and I'm gonna cheat on my taxes, and I'm gonna do this and that. No, you can't do that. I mean, you may disagree with them, but you still do what's right. All right? We still do what's right. And so we need to be faithful in doing our part. And a good verse, and this is a verse that I challenge you to spend some time studying. Okay? We're not gonna dig into this verse, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. The verse in context is really written to people of a local church or believers, and their spiritual leader, probably speaking of their pastor, he says here that we're to obey them that have the rule over us and submit ourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. You know, if I understand that verse right, that means one day I'm going to stand before God, and God's going to hold me accountable for what I did in this congregation, and what I taught you, and how I led you, and how I helped you, and strengthened you, and guided you, and directed you, and all the things that I've done. And he says that I will give account for that, but he also says that I will give account for you and how you have responded to what I've taught. You know, sometimes people truly oppose their pastor. And I'm thankful that we haven't had great opposition toward me, at least not very often. But opposition to the pastor, and what's going to happen? One day, the pastor's going to have to give an account to God, and God's going to say, what about those members? What were they like? What were those people that came to your church like? Were they? Did they? I mean, God's not ignorant. He already knows this. But that's what it says. It says that for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. So in other words, if we don't follow leadership in your home, children, if you don't follow the leadership of your parents, one day dad's going to answer to God, and God's going to say, what did the children do? Did they respond right? Did they obey right? And if dad says, no, God, you know, they were giving me a hard time. They just wouldn't obey me. He says, that's not going to be profitable for you. The same thing is true in a local church. The same thing is true in other areas. But he says that we need to obey our leadership. And that's a problem that Nehemiah had here. Even the nobles, you know, they did obey and give back the slaves, and they did stop taking the loans and things like that from the people. But they didn't really change their heart and follow him wholeheartedly. They're still undermining it. They're still working with Sanballat and Tobiah. They're still undermining the real issues here. And so they were really enemies in disguise. They weren't really loyal. And so he mentions that for us here tonight. So the thing that we can pick up from this that's very helpful is that we need to remember that facing opposition is something all of us are going to face. And it's nothing we enjoy, and it may be that people are trying to deceive you. It may be people that are telling lies about you. It may be trials that you face. But we need to ask ourselves, how am I coping with these things? How am I coping with the opposition from within and the opposition from without? How are we coping with that those things? And we need to rely upon the Lord. We need to be depending upon the Lord. And we need God's strength, and we need to cling to Him like Nehemiah did. And if you know someone who's struggling, what are we doing to try to help them? Are we reaching out to be a blessing to them, or are we just ignoring them? And Nehemiah was a good example for us in these areas, and we need to follow his example and to learn from these lessons here from these two chapters of Nehemiah. And so I encourage you to read them again, think about what is taking place in here, and see the importance of standing true and faithful to the Lord and doing what is right, even when we're opposed. And God will bless.